Insight on Business, the News Hour, is brought to you by Tarot International. Achieve, lead, and outclass with Tarot. TERO.com. And the Iowa Business Journals, news and information for small to mid-sized businesses. IowaBusinessJournals.com.
Welcome back to the Business News Hour. About 20 small business owners sat around tables at the West End Architectural Salvage in Des Moines, Iowa. They were there to hear from 2020 Democratic presidential candidate Andrew Yang. The group, which started out being very skeptical of Mr. Yang, soon gravitated to his message and his economic idea that he says will improve the lives of all Americans while it improves our national fiscal health. We start our conversation with a question about something he said regarding the signs that our nation is in serious, serious trouble.
So I started trying to dig into the numbers of what happened when we automated away 4 million manufacturing jobs over the last number of years, including 40,000 right here in Iowa. So I studied economics, and economic theory would have that if you lost your job, then you would move for a new opportunity, you get retrained, reskilled, maybe find higher productivity work, and the economy would grow. Unfortunately, that's not what actually happened to the manufacturing workers who lost their jobs. About half of them left the workforce and did not work again, and then about half of that group filed for disability. And then at the same time, you saw a surge in suicides among middle-aged Americans in that group. You saw a surge in drug use to the extent that now 8 Americans are dying of drugs every hour. You see with fewer opportunities, people get married less, and now 40% of American children are born to an unmarried mother. Our life expectancy has declined for the last 3 years, unheard of in a developed country. The last time that happened in the United States, it was literally the flu pandemic.
In 1918, I think it was.
In like 1918, like right. 100 years ago. So anyone who has this unease that our economy is sick and it's making us sick, that's exactly what the numbers are showing.
Well, the numbers, when we talk about numbers, we like to look and point to the GDP, the gross domestic product, and say, hey, look, things are really rolling. I think in the first quarter, we were like at 3.9% or something like that. And now it is slowing. And all of the economists take a look at 2019 and say it's going to be less than 2% GDP. But you're saying that measuring our economic growth and our success through GDP is a wrong measurement.
Yeah, it is the wrong measurement. So one other measurement I'm going to throw out there related. So the headline unemployment rate is under 4%. So everyone's very sanguine being like, oh, like so many jobs. But then if you look at our labor force participation rate, it's down to 62.9%, the same levels as El Salvador and the Dominican Republic. And more than 1 in 5 prime working age American men has not worked in the last 12 months. So something like GDP also obscures a lot of the harsh truth, where GDP can go up and up even as our communities dwindle, our main street stores close. 30% of malls and stores are going to close in the next 4 years because Amazon is going to suck up $20 billion more in commerce every year. GDP will be like, that's great. Like Amazon's delivering all that value and they're doing it at lower costs because, frankly, like Amazon can compete at a scale that's impossible for anyone to compete with, particularly because Amazon doesn't even need to make any money in a given quarter. So, and if you're like a local store, you kind of have to make some money. So it's going to be great for GDP, but is it going to be good for business owners here in Iowa when 30% of Main Street stores are forced to close their doors? So GDP is a distorting measurement that we invented almost 100 years ago. And even the inventor said this is a terrible measurement for national well-being and we should not use it as that. And yet today, it's our North Star, and that's what needs to change. Anyone who runs a business knows that what you measure is what you manage towards. And right now, we're measuring the wrong things, so we're managing for the wrong things.
You indicated that you think that we should find a way to humanize the measurement. Explain that for just a moment.
Well, 100%. So if you look at the way we measured our economy before we invented GDP, we literally would do things like go to the orphanage and see how many kids were there, or go to the poorhouse, or go to the streets, or go to places and just look like, hey, how many people are suffering? Then we invented GDP, and then we thought, ooh, this number like solves all of our problems. But again, there are all of these issues that it is obscuring. And so the way to humanize GDP would be to broaden it to include things like childhood education rates, health, mental health, freedom from substance abuse, what proportion of elderly Americans can retire in quality circumstances, like things that would actually indicate how we're doing, and then incorporate them into our economic measurements, which were plenty sophisticated. We're sophisticated enough where we could do that quite straightforwardly.
So what you're saying is that we're looking at the wrong numbers, that we should be looking at the human capital issue rather than just the straight numbers of what's coming out of Wall Street.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Because like Wall Street's designed for capital efficiency and maximization. And one quote I like to share is from a friend of mine named Eric Weinstein. He said that we never knew that capitalism was going to get eaten by its son, technology. I mean, we're on the cusp of being able to invent self-driving cars and trucks and artificial intelligence that can do infinite work at zero marginal cost. And so if you say, hey, I'm going to try to maximize GDP, that's going to be great. You know, you can have trucks that drive themselves. On the flip side,
what do we do with those people?
Yeah, on the flip side, driving a truck is the most common job in 29 states, including Iowa. I was just at Iowa 80, the largest truck stop in the country, and they proudly say 5,000 people stop there every day. And what happens when the trucks don't need to stop for a meal? And so, again, if you had GDP as your loan measurement, you'd be like, great for GDP. But it's going to be devastating for many businesses and families and communities, not just in Iowa, but across the country.
In your book, War Against Humanity, you talk about the guaranteed income. Guaranteed monthly income, which is really the crux of all of the economics that you seem to talk about. And I know the pushback is, well, how can you afford to give every person in the United States over the age of 18 to 65 $1,000? That sounds like this crazy government welfare program that's simply not going to work. I want to give you some significant amount of time to explain, A, how that works, what that does for human value, and also, where does the money come from?
Sure. So right now we're in a big trap as a country because the big winners from artificial intelligence and robotics and big data and autonomous vehicles are going to be the biggest tech companies. Amazon, Google, Facebook, Uber, and those companies are great at not paying a whole lot of taxes. Amazon's move is to say, didn't make any money this quarter, no taxes necessary. Google's move is to say it all went through Ireland, no taxes here. And so the trap is that more and more work and value is going to get sucked out of Main Street America and into these tech companies and artificial intelligence, and we're not going to see a dime of gains. So what we need to do is we need to create a way for the American public to benefit from all of these incredible innovations. And the most effective and efficient way to do that would be to implement a value-added tax, which would give the American public a tiny slice of every Google search, every Amazon transaction, every robot truck mile driven, and return it to the American people. Now, a value-added tax is in effect in every other industrialized economy in the world except for us. So we need to get with the program and join the modern world and have a value-added tax. Because our economy is now so vast, at $19 trillion, a value-added tax at even half the European level would generate $800 billion in new revenue, and that, plus existing spending, plus all the economic growth from people having $1,000 to spend in the consumer economy, plus cost savings and value gains would be enough to pay for a citizen's dividend of $1,000 per month for every American adult. Now, I want everyone listening to this to think, and if you run a business, you know what I'm talking about. The people of Iowa are going to take that money, and they're going to spend the vast majority of it right here in Iowa. They're going to spend it on car repairs, occasional night out, tutoring for their kids, home repairs, medical bills. Like these are what people are stressed about, and this is where the money is going to go. And it's going to go straight into the pockets, not just of families in Iowa, but into businesses here in Iowa. It's going to rebuild Main Street stores and businesses. It's going to put $16 billion into the hands of Iowan families and consumers every year. And it would create, conservatively, 40,000 new jobs here in Iowa in perpetuity. Now, if you don't do these things, don't think big, then the value is just going to keep getting sucked up out of Iowa, spirited off to Silicon Valley and Seattle and Wall Street. You've already lost 40,000 manufacturing jobs and 12,000 retail jobs. There are still 178,000 retail jobs here in Iowa, and we all know where that's trending. Over 30,000 truck drivers, we know where that's trending. Thousands of call center workers, that job's going to get done by AI in a few short years. We need to wake up and think bigger about how we can restore vitality and opportunity to Iowan Main Street businesses and families.
Andrew Yang, ladies and gentlemen, candidate for president, who is touring Iowa. And I heard him make a comment earlier this morning saying that he's going to commit to coming to Iowa at least a week, a month. And I think that's interesting. You just rose in the polls here in a recent 1%. But for folks that don't know of Andrew Yang, that's monumental, isn't it?
Yeah, we were very excited because we were included in the CNN national poll, and I was one of the top choices for a significant number of Iowans at the same level as national politicians like Kirsten Gillibrand and Eric Holder. And so I'm an entrepreneur. I'm not a politician by training. And when you're an entrepreneur, when you see that you have product market fit, you know that you can build on that and grow it. So my team was jumping up and down for joy that we polled at that level on the last CNN poll, because we know we're just going to go up and up from here.
I want to also indicate something. We just had a news story the other day about money returning back to the United States, offshore money that's supposedly coming back to the United States with a tax bill that was put into place a year ago this month. It was estimated that trillions of dollars of money was going to be repatriated to the United States. But in fact, only about $420 billion has been repatriated. Offshore is like $2.1 trillion. And some companies like Johnson & Johnson and others have said, we have no intent on repatriating those funds.
Yeah, so we have to get real and honest about what's happening in our economy. You have global multinationals who have zero interest in doing anything that does not help their bottom line. So if we think that they're going to invest naturally in our communities or in Main Street businesses or even in corporate headquarters that are in Iowa and other places, they're only going to do it if they think that that's to their advantage. We have to create an economy that works to our own advantage and puts human beings and families, what I call a trickle-up economy, from humans and families and communities up. There's nothing stopping a majority of owners of a company from declaring a dividend, and we are the owners and shareholders of this society, of this country. If we declare ourselves a dividend, then we can rebuild our Main Street economies around our own needs and values.
One of the things that you indicated during your presentation of these small business owners this morning was the plight of women in the workplace who are always busy, who are always, your wife is home taking care of your two children, and you're out on the road campaigning. But you also said something pretty stunning about white males and their value proposition. Can you reiterate that for us?
So I think what you're referring to is that one in five prime working age men is not working right now. And the majority of them are now spending a significant amount of time playing video games and then drinking and doing drugs.
So the trajectory is not good.
The trajectory is horrifying. It's shocking. And so, again, we have to start getting more honest about what's happening in our communities. And these people feel like there is no place for them in the workforce, in that there aren't real opportunities for them. And that's what we need to change. We need to rewrite the rules of our economy so that more people feel like they do have value and they have intrinsic worth. And one of the things that I suggested, like I've run companies, I've been the CEO of several companies, and there are three ways you can try and demonstrate that someone's valuable. Number one, you do nothing. And then oftentimes, eventually, they leave you. Number two, you say you're really valuable, but then you don't do something. Then that's it. Number three is you give them money. If you give them a bonus or a raise, then, oh my gosh, like that's the transformative. I am somebody. And so if you look at that young high school graduate male, he looks around, he's like, I don't have any worth. I don't have any place in society. Like people are saying to me, it's like, oh, I can vote. It's like, who cares? But then if you go to him and say, hey, look, guess what? You're an owner and shareholder of the richest and most advanced country in the history of the world. You're a citizen. We care about you. You belong. And here's $1,000 a month. Then that person has worth. That person can get together with their friends. They can start a business. They can get technical training. They can get out of the house. They can get off drugs. And they can go find their place in the world. I mean, I have two young boys, and that's what I want for them. But more and more American men are finding that that is not that's not being presented to them in a real way. Like, we're paying it lip service, but we're not putting our money where our mouth is.
Andrew Yang, ladies and gentlemen, candidate for president of the United States in 2020, making another tour through Iowa. I have a final question for you. We spent a lot of time on economics and very little time on anything else this morning. However, there was an interesting question from one of the attendees who asked you about healthcare and stress, and how families are dealing, how business is dealing with continued rate increases from healthcare insurers every single year, 10, 15, 20, 22% rate increases. It would seem to me that business might at some point think that this is not sustainable and start to lobby for something else.
Yeah, so I've run several businesses. I've been the CEO, and I have to tell you, healthcare is such a detriment and headache for small business owners, where it makes it harder to hire, it makes it harder to expand, it makes it harder to start a company, it makes it harder for people to switch jobs. You end up with people stuck in roles that they don't like or don't want to be in. And so we need to get healthcare costs off the backs of American businesses and families. Right now, it's the worst of all worlds, where we're spending twice as much as other countries to worse results, and it's freezing up our business growth. It's making it so that people are afraid to take risks because they're afraid they're going to, you know, have to take a bet on staying healthy. I mean, it's nuts. And so we need to move towards a system of healthcare where businesses don't need to worry about it, families don't need to worry about it, and get the cost down, which we can 100% do. We're spending twice as much as other countries.
Andrew Yang, ladies and gentlemen, candidate for president of the United States in 2020. And another trip through the Hawkeye State. Thank you so very much, Mr. Yang, for spending some time with us.
Oh, thank you for having me, Michael. I'll come back every time, man. I love these conversations.
And we will do that again, I promise you. Once again, that was presidential candidate Andrew Yang. We will have links to his webpage up on our radio blog. Well, that does it for today. Thanks so very much for listening. For all of us associated with Insight on Business, the NewsHour, Chap Ramsey is our production coordinator. Sales and marketing goes to Aaron Libby. The voice of Insight on Business, the NewsHour, is Hunter Pease. And the music you're hearing right now is arranged, composed, and conducted exclusively for the Business NewsHour by our friend James Goodlett from Jam Good Productions. You need some original music for your project? Yeah, we can hook you up. For all those folks, my name's Michael Libby. Have yourself a wonderful day. Be safe, be well, be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good day.